We want to welcome all of those who are online with us right now. Let's give them a round of applause. Welcome them today with us. And again, we are glad you are in the room today. And we are expecting God to do incredible, incredible things in your life today. We're starting a brand new teaching series that we have titled Go. And literally what we're doing is trying to help us mature, help us grow, help us develop as we run this race called life and go in the direction that God would have us to go in. Now, today is a pretty cool day in the world of NASCAR. Come on. Any NASCAR fans in the house today? Come on. Three of you guys are in here. It's awesome. So they are running the Talladega 500 today, and they will press the gas pedal, and they will go. But can I tell you something? None of them's ambition is to start that race. Their ambition is to finish that race and finish it well and finish it as a winner. And as they make laps around that track, they'll position themselves in such a way that they can hopefully finish the race. There'll be a lot of things going on around them. And if you've never watched the Talladega 500, there'll be a lot of crashes in that race. And it gets intensified as they begin to pursue the finish line. And you will see remarkable things happen in that physical race today. But what God wants to speak to our heart about in this journey called faith in Jesus Christ, that He doesn't want us just to start that race, but He wants us to finish that race. In other words, life is like a journey. It's like a race. And many people get on fire and they start a relationship with God. But God's ambition was for you never just to start a relationship with Him, but He would develop that relationship and He would mature you in your faith, so that you join Him in this journey to accomplish great things in this earth with your life. In other words, He wants us to go, and He wants us to achieve, and He wants us to do great things with our life. So today we're gonna learn how to go forward with our faith in Jesus. And we're gonna do this by looking in a letter that one of the early church fathers wrote the church at Philippi. Now, the church at Philippi was one of the first early churches started, and this writer writes to people at Philippi to encourage them in their faith, to encourage them to stay active and not give up in the journey as life began to come at them. And what's interesting about Philippi in this particular time is it was a community that was full of retired military leaders, retired soldiers. And a lot of them had retired, they had camped out there, and they understood a lot of the talk whenever you would speak in languages of like commitment and authority and finishing something well and working together as a team, because that's what soldiers do, right? They fight. They fight in order to advance something or to protect something. And Paul writes this church at Philippi with all of these leaders that surround him, and he's actually in prison, and he just really wants to encourage them in their faith to not give up with their faith. And so we're going to look through Philippians chapter 3 to learn how to do this today. Because the goal here at Valorous Church is for you to stand strong in your relationship with God that you find through Christ Jesus. In other words, to develop, to mature, to become all that God has created you and me to be. And so Paul begins talking to these people here in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to take a peek at what he says. I wrote this down in my journal. If we're going to move forward in our faith, it starts with having a confidence. Now, how many of you know that anytime you're going to accomplish something, you need to have confidence in order to accomplish it. And confidence is really, really important in the journey that we have with God. But it's not self-confidence. It's confidence in who he is. It's the foundation that stabilizes you in order for you to move forward. And Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done. That's past tense. He says, we're not just relying on what he's doing. We rely, our confidence is on what he has done. That's really significant because God has done something. And when he did it, he did it so we could have confidence that he is an authority and can follow through with what he does. The Bible says we have full confidence in what Christ Jesus has done for us. He says we put no confidence in human effort. He says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, he says, indeed, if others have a reason for confidence in their own efforts, he says, I have even more. And to understand the context here is Paul is referring to some people who basically were depending on moving forward in their faith based on basically the bloodline they belong to, their education levels, who they were. And Paul just reiterates, if my confidence came from that, he says, well, I would fit in great because I belong to the Hebrew people. I am an Israelite. Matter of fact, I'm even from a great tribe of people. He goes on to say, if our confidence in moving forward with God could be put in your education level, he's like, I'm at the top of the class. He says, but none of that really helps me grow in my faith. In other words, those are things that I put effort into, or I could put authority into. He says, but I don't count anything that I am in the flesh as confidence in order to knowing who Christ is. And he says, I have full confidence that Jesus is the authority and he is the leader of my life. He says, this is how I move forward. See, I think the question for us all is, do you have confidence in Jesus? In other words, do you have confidence that he is who he says he is and has accomplished what he says he has accomplished? Because oftentimes, you know what, people live as if Jesus didn't do what he said he would do. In other words, the Bible indicates that Jesus came to earth and it shares with us that he gave his life on a cross and he shed his blood for the sin of humanity because humanity missed the mark of God's glorious standard, missed the bullseye, missed the target. And the Bible says Jesus was perfect in every way and he gave his life to pay a price for humanity on a cross that humanity could not pay for itself. And the Bible goes on to help us understand that not only did Jesus pay that price, but he defeated death, sin, and the grave and rose from the grave 3 days later so that, everybody say so that, humanity could have a connection to the Creator, to our great God. In other words, there was no way for humanity to connect to the Creator, to live out who they are to be, that he or who he created them to be. But the Bible says that Jesus came and that's what he did on the cross. And whenever you put your faith in that particular thing about Jesus, he becomes foundation and he becomes the authority. In other words, you can begin to move forward. You can begin to take steps. Because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on him. My connection to God doesn't depend on what I do. My connection to God depends on what he has already done. Slap your neighbor and say he's done something. Go ahead and say he's done something. What is your confidence in? Why do you live so miserable? Because you're striving and you're trying to gain a relationship with God. My friend, you can't do it. He is the authority. He is the one that put on flesh and dwelled among human beings and did the work for us so we could have a connection to God. But a lot of people are paralyzed in their life because they're continually trying to do all the right things to make a connection with God. And the Bible says that we can have full confidence that Jesus has done this for us. In other words, Paul, the writer of this letter, he was confident that Jesus came to not condemn him. He was confident that Jesus came to connect him. This is a big difference. See, some of you believe that God wants to condemn you for what you have done up to this point. And you're striving to get it right. But the Bible says God didn't come the first time when he put on flesh through Christ Jesus to condemn you. The Bible says he came to save you or rescue you. And what that means is no matter what we have done or how far we have missed knowing who God is or missed the target of his glorious standard or how far we've gotten away, we have to understand that Jesus came and he was authority over my life because he didn't come to condemn me, he came to connect me. Do you really believe you're connected to God through Christ Jesus? Do you have this relationship? Because the Bible says there's no other way to have the relationship, no matter how many backflips you do, no matter how many times you turn around and do circles and do religious things, it don't even matter if you give $9 million in the offering plate today to help us build our building. That'd be an awesome thing for me. But the reality of it is this, is none of that can help you make the connection to God. Jesus is the one. And Paul says, I put no confidence in what I do. I put my full confidence in Jesus. He's the foundation of my faith. And it's how I begin to move forward with my life in Christ Jesus because he is the one that came. He came to conquer sin for me, not to come and try to control me. How do you see God? As an authority? Do you see him as one that wants to help you out of your depravity or, you know what, your brokenness or however you want to describe that, out of your particular sin? Or do you see him as one that just wants to control you and make you follow him? It's a mind shift, my friend. It's having faith in the work of Christ. And he didn't come to try to control you. He came to conquer sin, to connect with you, and lift you up out of the particular sin and places you are in life. He came to be an authority. Have you given God authority over your life by faith? Do you really believe he's the authority, or do you believe you are the authority? Because your faith in God can't grow until he takes his rightful place as Lord and as a leader. And so if you want your faith in God to grow exponentially, it starts with submission. See, that's what giving authority over to God by faith looks like. It's basically saying, God, I'm not in control, you're in control. See, remember, he's writing to a community that was full of military people. And military people understood authority. And they understood rank, and they understood order. And he says, look, who's the authority of your life? Is it God who has come and paid this price, went to battle for you? Will you make him the leader and Lord of your life because he was perfect in every way and he did something you couldn't do on your own? Will you be willing to submit to his authority? See, it's basically saying, God, I'm not going to do it my way, or I'm not going to do it her way, or I'm not going to do it a religious way, or I'm not going to do it the way that popular opinion thinks it should be done. God, I'm coming underneath you, and I'm going to connect to you by the way that you have provided for me, and I'm coming under your authority, and I believe that's how I connect to you. So the question for us all is, who's the authority? Is it Uncle Sam? Is it your children? Is it another person? Or is it you? Submission is the pathway to the finish line. And you know what? We start the race by submitting our life to God through Christ Jesus. And you can have full confidence that God is who he says he is, and he has done exactly what he says he can do. That's what it means to put my faith in Jesus and begin to trust Jesus with my life. And again, I believe that Jesus is for us and not against us. He didn't come to hold you back and hold you down. He came so that you could have access to God and begin to be elevated and lifted up in your faith. But can I tell you something? It was no small task what he did. He's the example of how to follow through with believing that the Father or God is the authority of your life. And the way he did this was, he wasn't just in human form. He was in human form, and he was accomplishing something for all of humanity. So I wrote this down. If we really want to grow in our faith and get to the finish line, faith grows when we say no because we have a bigger yes. Faith grows in God when we learn to say no to certain things because we have a bigger yes out in front of us. It's exactly the example Jesus gave us. He had a big yes. And so he was able to press through some hard times on the journey of being a human. He had a big yes, and his yes was to resurrect from a grave so you and I, all people, could be connected to God everywhere. He came to pay the price, and the reality is he had to say no numerous times. And Paul wrote it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. In other words, I want to experience God's power. I want to experience the power that brought him back from a brutal death, being put in a grave. I want to experience that power. The writer writes to the church at Philippi. He says, I want my faith to experience that kind of power. How many of you would like to have resurrection, talking about resurrection of Jesus, power in your life? Come on. And again, because what happens, it says this. He says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. He don't have a death wish here. He wants to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. What is he saying? He's simply saying, you know what? I want to learn, just like Jesus, to say no. To say no in certain situations because my mission and my focus is a bigger yes. It's exactly what Jesus did. Look what it says in Philippians 2, the very chapter before this. It says that Jesus did this in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. It says, though he was God, come on. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to hold on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took a humble position as a slave and was born as a human being. Speaking in the spiritual realm. It goes on to say this, when he appeared in human form, He humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. So what did Jesus say no to? It was divine privileges. He became fully human. He's God in the flesh, experiencing suffering just like any other human being would experience. And to the pain and the cruelty of being shamed and ridiculed and being put on a Roman cross, being falsely accused of something he didn't even commit. Can I tell you something? That's real suffering. And the Bible says that, you know what? He was willing to say no to his divine privilege because he had a bigger yes for you to understand God's mighty power and what he wants to do in your life. But not only did he say no to divine privileges, guess what? He said no to temptation. Matthew chapter 4, you should go read it. It's amazing. Jesus is tempted in every way that any human being would be tempted. And the Bible says that he comes and he's tempted by the enemy. For he's tempted once in Matthew chapter 4 to fill his belly full of food, turn a rock into bread. He's tempted another time to do that miracle. He says, if you're really, you know what, who you say you are, Jesus, then turn this stone into bread. He's tempted another time to basically have power over everything. And he's tempted another time to receive full protection in his life if he will fall into the temptation. In other words, not say no to the temptation and have a bigger yes on the other side of the temptation. But Jesus says no to food, he says no to power, and he says no to protection right here in Matthew chapter 4. Why? Because his yes was bigger than any kind of no he ever had to say. My friend, you know, again, he even had to say no to friends sometimes. Had to say no to Peter. Listen to it. He had literally told his followers, his friends, I'm getting ready to go and die on a cross. And they were like, no, you're not as long as we're around. You ever had a friend like that? In other words, as long as I'm around, it's all going to be okay. Well, again, he begins to tell Jesus this. And Peter, and the Bible says in Matthew 16, verses 23 and 24, Jesus turned to Peter. And he said this, get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. In other words, my yes is bigger than the no I got to say to you, Peter. And I like you, and I think you're a great fisherman, and I think you're an awesome person, and I think you got potential. But right now, you need to get away from me because my yes is bigger than saying no to you. And again, He's able to do this. He says, you are seeing things. Look what he says. Hey, Peter, you're only seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. And he goes on to say, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to follow me, he says, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. In other words, you know, sometimes I have to cheat my desires in order to gain something I've said yes to. I have to cheat the chocolate donuts if I want to say yes to gaining, say, health in life. I have to say no to all the sweets and things that come into my life if I want to gain health. I have to say no to feeling tired and lazy and sleeping. And I have to say, no, that's a feeling. I feel that way. And I want to sleep in. But if I want to gain health, I have to say no to sleeping in. And my yes has to be, I'm going to get out of bed, no matter how painful it is. And I'm going to go for a morning run. See, again, it's the same thing in your spiritual life. And Jesus said no to a lot of things that basically could make a person feel a certain way or were coming against him because his yes to finishing the work that God had given him to do on a cross was more important than than what he was experiencing in his own life. You gotta learn to cheat some things. You know what? The things in your life sometimes to accomplish great things, for God to accomplish great things through your life. And it's the decision you make. It's called commitment. First, if I wanna grow in my faith, I have to submit myself to Jesus' authority. Pay close attention. And then I have to commit myself to follow after him. Everybody say submit. Everybody say commit. See, that's the challenge, isn't it? Nobody wants to commit to finishing the race because life is real and pain hurts. And Jesus says, no, no, no. There is a finish line. And my friend, you have to commit to get across the finish line with your great God, believing that he is the authority of everything. And no matter if something comes into your life and wrecks your even a physical body, you can have hope and keep pressing forward to the finish line if you begin to exercise and submit yourself and commit yourself to the things of God. Jesus was full on committed. My friend, he is the example, ultimate commitment of what it means to be a soldier or to be a person of God's family. And he's the ultimate example of what it means to sacrifice and love others as yourself. And none of us have achieved that level of perfection in our faith yet. But can I tell you, the Bible says if we will submit and commit, we are well on the journey and we can follow after Christ with our life. Is this your heart? Is this your desire? Or do you just continue to go back to selfish thinking? What about me and my family? What about, you know, this particular situation and this struggle? We all have struggles. And we're here to help each other. But what we have to realize is our true help comes from the Lord, and making him the foundation, and submit your life to him and commit to following after him. It amazes me how people say, I want this to change and I want that to change. And you say, well, are you committed to following Jesus? Well, yeah, but really, see, that's not the level of commitment that grows your faith into something greater. And you know, I want to say, yeah, but a lot of times. But the reality of it is, sometimes I have to say no to the desires of my heart, the desires in my flesh, to say yes to the things of God. And what I've discovered is I've been let down in my own life often because it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. But I have yet to be let down by God and follow after his ways and it become to be what he wants it to be. It's always more than I can imagine, think of, or ever hope for. And my friends, God is inviting you into the journey, into the race, but you have to submit yourself to him and commit to following after him. Lastly, the writer here, Paul, he goes on to say, not only do I need to be submitted and committed, I gotta get my focus right. Look at your neighbor and say, how's your focus? Go ahead and say, how's your focus? See, if your focus isn't right, here's the thing. You're not gonna get to the finish line. And so many people are focused in the wrong direction. And God wants you to be focused on the finish line and make this statement and begin to get it in your heart today. Is to never give up and never quit. See, the way to grow your faith is simply to submit to the authority of Christ, to commit to following him with your life, no matter what comes into your life, and then never give up and never quit, no matter what goes on around you or in your own personal life. Listen, this is how Paul says it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He says, I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. In other words, that word perfection simply means I press on to mature or to grow or to develop for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet. I haven't reached the fullness of it yet. He says, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I like to stop right there. Because there's a word there, it's called us. And Paul saw this development possible for us. Not just him, though he uses himself as an analogy through the whole process. It's an us. And us is important because that means me, that means you. And God has a calling on our life, and he's calling us upward. He's calling us to develop. He's calling us to higher ground. He's calling us to go. He's calling us to finish. And God is calling you, my friend. You cannot quit. You can't give up. You can't pull over to the side. Because if you do, you know what? You can't completely finish the race. And understand, God didn't give his life on a cross so you could start a connection. He gave his life on a cross so you could start a connection, develop the connection, and then become everything that connection makes you into being. He goes on to say this. He says, let us who are spiritually mature. You want to know what spiritual maturity is? It's understanding the direction God is calling you in. It says, let us who are spiritually mature agree upon these things. And by the way, if you really still think it's all about just you, he says, if you disagree at some point, he says, I believe that God will make it plain to you. And he says, but we must hold on to the progress we've already made. And if we go on down to Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, it says this. Here's how we do all this. How we hold on to the progress we've made, how we keep moving forward, focusing on what God, he says, we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He's not just eager to leave this life. He's eagerly awaiting for Jesus to not just come as a servant, but come the second time as a Savior. He's looking completely for Jesus to fulfill all of what God's plan for Jesus to fulfill was. Did you know that God's plan for Jesus wasn't just to come and die on a cross and get up out of a grave to forgive you of your sin? The Bible says he is going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to be over all, and God's going to work through him in all. And he's going to return. My friend, I don't know what's lording over your life. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's finances. No, maybe it's your own personal sickness. I don't know what's lording over your life, but I know the one that I'm eagerly awaiting to return, and he's going to come back and he's going to make it right. See, this is focusing on the right thing. It's not focusing on what I've accomplished or what I haven't accomplished or my failures or my success. It's not focusing on all that garbage. It's focusing on what is still yet to come. And I'm here to make an announcement. The best is still yet to come. He goes on to say this. He will take our weak and mortal bodies. I love this. And he will change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Man, that should be the most fascinating verse in the Bible to you. He's going to return. Whatever's weak, if you feel frail today, you feel a little broke down and old today, he's going to take that weak mortal body. The Bible says he's going to give you a brand new one when he returns. And it ain't going to be frail, and it ain't going to be broken, and it ain't going to be defeated, and it ain't going to be tempted, and it ain't going to be all these things. The Bible says he's going to give us this new body when he returns. And you can hang on to hope in that. And what's even more than that is going to be by which he brings everything under his control. He's going to bring it all under his control. Everything. My friends, God is still at work. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on your neighbor. He hasn't given up on the rocks. He hasn't given up on the cows. He ain't given up on this. He ain't given up on that. Here's the deal. He's going to bring it all under his control. And you and I are the crown of his creation. The Bible says when he created male and female, he created them in his image, and they were very good, and they were created to basically rule and reign with him here on this earth, permeating who he is throughout the earth. All that's been broken, and that's why you're so jacked up. The Bible says that Jesus, he came in the flesh. He gave his life like a suffering servant on a cross to have authority over your life. Why would you give anything else authority? Submit to his authority today. Today could be the day. And then the Bible says that we need to commit to following him through this life, no matter how difficult it gets. I can tell you a great tool he's given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to coach us along the journey, but he's also given us a family, church family. We're here to encourage one another, build one another up in the faith. And so I invite you to commit to following God the way he says he is following. Don't be isolated. You need the church, and the church needs you. I need the church, and the church needs me. It's the people of God called out of darkness into the wonderful light. We're building each other up. And then, my friends, really believe. Focus on the return. I mean, I don't know what this week may bring. You know, last week sucked for me. But this week could be great. And I'm going to get up with hope tomorrow. Because you know what? It don't matter if this week's great or it sucks. God is still going to come back. And I'm going to get a glorious body. And it's going to be amazing. So I'm going to live with that anticipation. And guess what I'm going to be caught doing? Along the journey, not giving up, not quitting, not pulling over to the side, but being faithful to do what he's called his church to do and operate in my gifting and share the good news of Christ with the world around me. So see, that's where you want to be caught, as being a faithful servant on the journey of life, and God will see you through to the finish line. Paul said this as he wrote young Timothy. He says, my life has been poured out like a drink offering now. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And he says, now I look forward to my heavenly crown of what God comes to give me. Simply what Paul says is, look, I'm getting ready to die physically, but I still got hope, because all of this battle I've been in has been well worth it, because of who King Jesus is. And I believe of him as Lord, leader, Savior, Master, and King. And my faith is operating accordingly. The question for you today, is it yours? Because if not, now could be the opportunity for you to step in to the race with King Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. Let me pray for you. God, today, there's many here who are broken, who are frail. God, who can't continue on the journey because something is dominating their mindset. And so God, I pray for Jesus to become the authority today. Jesus, you paid for the sin on the cross. God, no matter what shame, what guilt, what past, what ridicule comes our way, Jesus, we know that you persevere, and we are not that because of what you did on that cross, and we are united as one with you and our Creator. Jesus, if there's one here today that doesn't believe that, I pray today they would put their faith in the finished work of Christ on that cross. They would believe. And my friend, if that is you today, say, God, today I submit. I'm tired of being my authority. I'm tired of other things being the authority. And I need Jesus to become the authority and leader of my life today. Tell God, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross and the power of the resurrection. And tell God, you want to experience that resurrection in the fullest. And if that is you today, I invite you, to not only submit your life to the authority of God through Christ Jesus today, I invite you today to commit your life wholeheartedly, fully, from this day forward. And let's see what God can do in us and through us. And God, as we all do this journey together, as the world sometimes feels like it's caving in, God, I pray you'd give us the courage, the valor to stay focused on the prize. And Jesus, you will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you said that prayer today, let's celebrate it, because he is coming back. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.